G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
We are going to get into what is such an important topic, women and their addictions. We're turning our attention to the challenges, more specifically, that women face when dealing with addictions. And on the face of it, we might ask if the challenges that women face are any different to men. After all, the biology between men and women is different. Women who use drugs can have issues related to hormones, menstrual cycles, fertility, pregnancy, breastfeeding, and menopause. And then there are culturally defined roles that create differences between men and women. Our special focus today is going to be on women with Teen Challenge in Australia and a special year for Teen Challenge, celebrating 50 years, helping people overcome addiction and other life-controlling problems. They run one of what is the most successful programs anywhere, helping people get free from drug addictions. The ministry itself traces its roots to the organization founded on the streets of New York City in the United States back in the 1950s by Pastor David Wilkerson. The movie about him, called The Cross and the Switchblade, exploded onto the silver screen in the 1970s, and today there are over 1,400 Teen Challenge organizations around the globe. Our special guest today is Joanne Hobbs. Joanne is Executive Director of Teen Challenge in the state of Queensland, with successful programs for young men and women focused on restoring hope and rebuilding lives. Joanne Hobbs, a special welcome back to 2020.
Thanks so much, Neil. Great to be back.
Well, Joanne, let's start with the obvious, women and addictions. And we decided today we'd talk about just women. Some people would say, aren't you just going to be talking about addictions in general? But why would we be focusing today on just women?
Well, I think, Neil, there is such significant stigma around women with addiction, and they are totally unrepresented in treatment. So if we were to look at some stats, there's 1 in 3 people using drugs that are women, but there's only 1 in 5 that are in treatment. So they are, you know, it's very disproportionate of the need that is there, and there is such a lot of stigma around that.
And before we move on from this, isn't it the case that it's not that long ago that women weren't even counted in statistics? Mainly the studies were about men, because men were the ones who seemed to have the addiction problems. And then, of course, addictions crept in there. And so now these days, women obviously are a part of all the research. But there was a time not that long ago when women weren't even counted.
Yeah, going back, quite a while, I guess now, women weren't counted in that research. But I think that was because they were a lot lower in numbers back then as well. But, you know, we're seeing now it's 1 in 3, and, you know, that's a significant increase.
And so when we talk about women and addiction, one of the things we mentioned that it's sometimes there's a stigma attached to a woman who has a drug problem actually seeking help. How does that look?
Well, look, there is significant stigma for women. You know, there's social stigma. It's, you know, what people are going to think of me. It's that, you know, discrimination as well. There's a lot of trauma around women as well in terms of seeking help. And, you know, a lot of it is as well, they actually just don't know how to reach out for it, who to reach out to. And then there's just a lot of fear that sits behind that. And that fear is what really keeps them captive.
Let's cut to the heart of one of the biggest issues here. And that is that women, typically the primary carers of their children, will oftentimes not seek any help for their addiction because of the fear that their children could be taken away from them by whatever protective services in their state. This is one of the biggest issues.
You're spot on there, Neil. It's exactly one of the hugest issues that we see facing women. We have a women's centre that we cater for women with drug and alcohol addictions. And that is definitely the number one fear factor for women is when they have children, you know, they're, of course, as a mother, you know, you're dealing with this addiction, but then you have this, you know, tremendous underlying fear of what's going to happen to my children if I go into treatment? Who's going to look after them? Will they have to go into care? And does that mean I'll never get them back again?
And that's got to be one of the overriding issues for women seeking help because that fear of what happens to my kids, what happens financially because I can't just put them into some sort of paid care. Are they going to be taken off me, as you say? Will they ever be given back to me if this stigma that is attached to my drug addiction leads authorities to say that I'm not a fit parent? So you've got women in this case scenario who'll say, I won't even seek help. How serious is that?
Oh, it's tremendously serious. You know, when you're looking at one in three who are women that are suffering with addiction, and we're seeing that, you know, there's one in five that are in treatment, you do the math and we can see the significant disproportionate gap there is there, you know, in terms of the need that is there. And, you know, for me, I'm just passionate about how we can assist these women, how we can offer them the help that they need so that they will reach out for that. Because, you know, when we look at that whole problem here of the stigma, it's the mother is stopped from getting help because of the fear of losing their children. But then it's this cycle of addiction where they're in a home that is, you know, often unsafe and a home that, you know, is obviously there's a lot of trauma within that home as well. So, you know, for us, we're passionate about offering help to these women so that we can break the cycle of addiction so the family can be healed and actually live a life that they were meant to live, the life that God meant them to live.
No doubt it's always more than just one factor that leads anybody into drug abuse and then eventually addiction. Is there a typical scenario around women that lead them into taking drugs, becoming addicted and then needing help?
Look, there's a lot of different reasons, Neil, for this, but you know, I'll just highlight what I think are probably some of the top reasons. And you know, women that suffer a divorce, that suffer the death of a partner or a child, you know, these women are very vulnerable. And you know, one of the very, very big issues is domestic violence. And you know, when you look at And also childhood trauma. So you look at those issues, they're huge issues that, you know, to overcome for them to even reach out for help.
One of the things I picked up in a little bit of research before our conversation today is the fact that men often tend to abuse drugs because of peer pressure issues, whereas women are not so open to the peer pressure, but they're into more a self-medication. The fact of women who are choosing to try and escape some of the challenges they're facing in their life by self-medicating, trying to feel good about themselves, how does that work, do you think, with women?
That's a huge problem. That was going to be one of the points that I was going to raise with you. So thank you for raising that, Neil. You know, self-medication is a huge problem amongst women. And when we look at, you know, it's not just drugs we're talking about, but the abuse of alcohol as well. So it's anything that will numb the pain. So when a woman finds themselves in a situation where they're in domestic violence, this cycle of abuse, you know, it's what can they do to escape that? When a woman is, you know, in a marriage and then a divorce happens suddenly, you know, that sends them spiraling out of control. And so they turn to substances. And it's often not even illicit substances that we're talking about, but prescription drugs.
and the likelihood that even when a woman, and we're talking more particularly about a woman, when a woman does actually get on top of her addiction, she is more likely to fall back into that addiction when something causes the situations to arise, the same sorts of hurts and pains to come back. There's a likelihood that women are often going to fall back into their addiction.
Well, I'd like to address that by saying this, that yes, that can be the case. For Teen Challenge, what we are passionate about is that, you know, this is not just about a rehabilitation program, but this is about dealing with those underlying issues, because it's the same for anyone, whether it be a man or a woman. If those underlying issues are not dealt with in a person's life, those triggers are still there and they will fall back into those ways. And so for us, we are very passionate about helping them to identify those issues, to walk through those issues and to receive that healing, which is, you know, why a Christian organization like Teen Challenge is so important in this space, because there's so many traumas and deep, deep hurts in people's lives that really only God can touch.
Well, Joanne, listeners to this program always know that there is a dimension that we love to talk about with all of these types of scenarios and the sorts of treatment programs that are going on, but especially when it comes to recovery from drug addiction, the spiritual dimension in there is one of the things that makes your program so, so successful. And of course, you've got this 1,400 centers around the world. And the sorts of figures we understand, that 70% of people who go through a program that you're setting, and this is happening around the world, are coming out with a victorious sense of overcoming their addiction. And so the spiritual dimension in all of these rehabilitation programs that you've got running, how important is that? Because some people might be thinking, oh, that's just a little tack on extra. Don't they all do the same sorts of things? You're telling us that something very different happens in your programs.
Well, Neil, I like to say it this way, that, you know, we do have very experienced, qualified staff that know how to lead a person through rehab, that we know best practice. But I like to put it this way, it is God plus best practice that equals success. And that is really the bottom line of it.
God plus best practice. And for anyone who ever saw the movie The Cross and the Switchblade, you cannot ignore the spiritual dimension that really, I think that has sort of undergirded, hasn't it, the way that the rehab programs in Teen Challenge have worked. No doubt you talk a lot about David Wilkerson and those wonderful foundations that were laid for your organization.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's always so important to look at where you've come from. You know, our roots are so important to us, and, you know, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And this was founded, you know, a Christian organization that, you know, I'm very passionate that that's our focus, and we do keep the main thing the main thing.
And when you have centers, they're not mixed centers. You have centers for men, you have centers for women. There's some particularly successful centres that you've got happening in the Toowoomba region in Queensland, just to the west of Brisbane. What sort of centres, can you give us a little description as to how they look?
Yes, yeah, so we have a men's and a women's program, but they are run separately. They're in separate facilities. And, you know, which we have found works really well, because a lot of our women, probably I would say 98% of women that come into our services have experienced some sort of sexual abuse and very untrusting of men. And so they've really needed somewhere where they could come to feel safe. And it's the reason why I decided that we would keep our men's and women's centres separate. And we find that that works really well.
Helping you make sense of life, culture and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
We're talking women and addictions. Our talkback line is open on 1-800-316-316. You might have your own insight today, your own story to tell. You might like to reflect on the difference that it makes when you have a faith element in your recovery. What happens when God is in the middle of your recovery? Well, our special guest this hour is Joanne Hobbs. Joanne is Executive Director of Teen Challenge in the state of Queensland. Our focus is on women and their addictions. Joanne, before we go any further, COVID, has that exacerbated any addiction issues for men or women that you're aware of?
Well, you know, I think, Neil, by what we're hearing, that definitely is the case. We don't have any hard statistics on that yet, but I dare say within the next 12 months we'll definitely have some more stats on that. I don't think it could not have, been an issue or an accelerated issue through that time, given the fact that many have suffered through mental illness, depression and a whole range of things. So we may even see more of that self-medication that we were talking about, you know. I think there's going to be a rise there.
And no doubt, depending on which part of Australia you live in, as to whether you can identify whether that's the case in your community, and no doubt churches will be exposed to some of those sorts of issues too, as people are involved in this self-medicating. The things that you mention, so far as COVID goes, where people have lost a job, or their wages have been cut, or their children have been home, and there's all sorts of family problems. But domestic violence, this is one of those areas identified that has been on the upswing with COVID, where families have all been trapped together under the one roof, and for all sorts of reasons, that, you know, is a little bit like sparks into a dry bushfire ready to happen. Domestic violence, though, women and domestic violence, you've got to be able to address drug addiction along with a whole lot of other issues, haven't you?
Absolutely. Domestic violence is, I think, another epidemic that we have in our society. And, often domestic violence is not actually even seen in a person's life until they've been in it for a very long time, because that cycle of abuse keeps them silent. And there's all sorts of abuse. We're not just talking about physical abuse, but there's verbal, psychological abuse, you know, that emotional abuse, sexual abuse. There's a whole range of things that happen within that cycle of abuse. And unfortunately, many women are silent about it until it gets to a critical point.
We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. Let's take a call. Alison is in Brisbane. Hello, Alison. Welcome.
Hi, Neil. How are you going?
Very well, Alison. What are your thoughts for our conversation today?
I think it's great that we're talking about women in addiction. I know I have personal experience of the disease of addiction in my life, alcohol, drugs, sex, processed food, and I have needed to seek an addictionist, a specialist, to treat my addiction. It invaded all facets of my life, and through that, and I work a 12-step program, I've had to give myself to a God of my own understanding. A God, for me, it's Jesus, but God is the only one who can do it for me, because I'm completely powerless over my addiction and where it's taken me.
Alison, thank you for sharing that. Joanne, what are your thoughts for Alison?
Well, Alison, I think you're very brave to have really stepped forward to, first of all, to identify the addiction and then to step forward and reach out for help. Was that really difficult step for you?
It was incredibly difficult, and I had a lot of resistance, a lot of denial. Denial was just so thick in my life, and anger, a lot of anger. And, you know, I did not want to go to God. It was the last thing I wanted to do, and I've been forced into a corner where I've had to go to God to help to be free of this.
Well, you know, God is definitely a great place to turn. And so how long ago was that, Alison?
Look, I've been in recovery from alcohol for about 20 years, but in the end it was the processed food addiction that brought me down. So I've been in recovery from that for about a year. So.
Okay, so where do you feel you are now, you know, after, walking through that journey of recovery?
Okay, I'm still receiving treatment, and I'm still, it's very early days for me. And I feel like I've just had that affected that conscious contact with God now. And for me, my disease has been so strong, and the power of the devil has just been very strong for me in my life. So
Alison,
I'm on the road to recovery now. Yes, Neil.
Let me ask you about, you know, you said that without God, you're powerless. And you were even reluctant to open yourself to the idea that God could make a difference in your addiction. So now that you've opened yourself to his input into your addiction, where do you see yourself now? And how empowering is it to know the presence of God when you've got a challenge like you've been facing?
It's vital for me. I cannot live without God in my life. Because for me, my self-will, I just wanted to run the show. And for me, running the show led me to my addictions, and it's just some pretty dark places, and to contemplating suicide. So for me, I have to rely on God. I must to, and it's just for today, just to have a daily reprieve from this disease. So it's, I cannot do this without God. It's just as simple as that. And it took me a long, long time to get to that point because I was defiant.
Alison, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your heart with regard to your own story. Really appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much, Alison. And Joanne, God in the program, some people are going to be thinking, oh, well, I'll just go with, you know, the secular government-funded program. They won't have any God in there. I'm not a religious person, but I know I've got a problem. God actually is the key ingredient, is he not, in overcoming addiction? Because on the other side of getting free from the drugs, isn't there a purpose beyond that you need to be able to stay free?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when we see men and women come into our centres, that I think one of the things that I observe is that there is, you know, often that hopelessness in their eyes. They don't actually have any thought about what the future is. And, you know, and you can understand that because there's such a void in their life. But, you know, when they come in and they, you know, there are a lot of people that come into our program that are not Christians. It's not, you know, just for Christian people. They come into the program. They're not Bible bashed in that program, but they're exposed, obviously, through the program and hearing others talk and pray and care for them, you know. And when they actually come to that point of saying, you know, I need help, and God, you are the one that I need, you know, we see an acceleration in their recovery. That's not something that's mandated, but it is something that happens naturally within our centres.
And I guess that's anecdotal. You can't really sort of put a statistical process through there. But what you notice as the executive director is that when people are actually on a road to recovery, once they discover personal relationship with God, bringing him into their addiction, that actually accelerates their opportunity of becoming well again.
Well, it does, because, you know, I think we look at it this way, you know, you either look at it as in, you know, behavioural modification, so modifying your behaviour, but that only lasts to a point when the pressure comes back on. But we say, you know, with God, it's life transformation. So it's healing from within, transforming the way that you think and respond and to situations.
Let's take another call. David is in Logan in Queensland. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hi, Neil.
Good to hear from you, David. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think look, drug addiction is in the midst of our community, and I think it's important not to judge these people, you know, that just say, you know, it's their fault, because, you know, it may or it may not be. It doesn't matter. It's about bringing these people back into the big picture, and then it becomes an issue like. The story in the Bible of the sower and the seed and the birds of the air, that some people are willing to listen for a little while, but then they the devil comes and plucks the word out of their heart, you know. So it's important to have a heart that's prepared like good soil, so that the seed bears a lot of fruit, and you have to water that seed constantly. You have to give it a plan and a purpose. You know, there's more to it than just rehabilitation. You know, it's about getting your life back. You know.
Wonderful stuff, David. Joanne, your thoughts for David?
Yeah, absolutely, David. It's, you know, there's a whole lot of elements that are involved in this, and, you know, rehabilitation is just one part of that puzzle. But then it's about, you know, being able to walk out the purpose of your life. And I think for Teen Challenge, that's why when people finish our program, we're not finished with them. You know, we follow up and we actually continue to walk that journey with them, because it is really, you know, once they finish the program, we want to see them doing life well. And so we are passionate about that. So I agree with you, David. You know, rehabilitation is just one part of that.
Wonderful to hear from you, David. In Logan, thank you so much for your call. We'll take some more calls after Vision National News. You might like to participate, 1-800-316-316. Just quickly, though, David makes that reference, doesn't he, to the seed and the sower. And sometimes it falls on the hard ground or on the stony ground or on the thorny ground, but sometimes into good soil. That's one of the very powerful stories that Jesus told. Just because people go to a Christian facility doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to be the good soil there. So you've got to be able to help people receive this good soil that can transform lives. And no doubt there are some challenges always when it comes to that, Joanne.
Well, there is, but I think the great thing is that, you know, we're not meant to be the Holy Spirit. We're just meant to be those that, you know, plant the seed, water the seed, and there'll be others that harvest that. But, you know, everyone has a free will, and it's Jesus's plan that everyone would come to Christ, but not all do.
Joanne, before we take any more calls, the shame that some women are feeling because of their addiction, this is something that's, you know, you pay particular attention to in your women's centre, because it's not easy and perhaps harder for women than it is for men to face some of the feelings that they do around the fact that they've got an addiction.
Yeah, we do see that a lot in our young women in the centres. There's that feeling of shame and guilt, and depending on, I guess, their circumstance as well. So those that have children, many of them have come into our centre that have actually had their children taken into care. And so there is so much, you know, shame and guilt around that. But, you know, we've been very successful, Neil, in our centre in assisting women, helping them navigate through and being able to be reunited with their children, those that have been taken into care. So, you know, from us, there's no judgment in this area, because, you know, we understand that, hey, there are things in all of our lives that we have to deal with. And we are passionate about helping these women, because, you know, many of them have no family support. Many of them have either burnt their bridges, or through an abusive relationship, they've been isolated. And so they have no other support around them. And, you know, they need a loving hand to reach out to them. And Teen Challenge is one of those loving hands that are really willing to reach out.
I love the expression, loving hands ready to reach out, because that flies in the face of what for some is a prevailing impression that somehow or other that people who are in a Christian organization like Teen Challenge may somehow be judgmental when there are issues around addictions. And you have to, no doubt, fight against that from time to time too, but the loving hand that reaches out and is helpful in these circumstances, how does that overcome some of that sort of impression that some people have that somehow Christians are very judgmental?
Look, I guess I could answer that best by just quoting some of our young women that have been through our program, and they've, you know, come in very closed off, you know, really, I guess, expecting that there was going to be a lot of judgment expectation on them. And many of them have said, you know, countless numbers of times have said, you know, what I could not believe is that when I walked into that centre, the love that I felt and the acceptance that I felt, you know, and that's what we're about. We're about, you know, accepting, loving, and loving people to wholeness is something that I like to say, because, you know, that's what's lacking so much in the lives of a lot of these women, is that they really have not been nurtured and loved.
And when you say people coming from sexual abuse backgrounds, the domestic violence that they've come from, and often that's the trigger for the self-medication and becoming addicted to drugs in the first place, they're discovering something completely opposite to the environment that they are used to. Let's come back to women and something of the biology, women's bodies responding differently to the substances. How do women's bodies tend to respond differently to the drug substances they're putting into their bodies?
And look, a lot of that comes down to, you know, the way God created us in terms of our hormonal differences from men and women, and the lower threshold that women have to drugs and alcohol. So, you know, women are more susceptible and often get addicted much quicker than men as well, because they don't have as high a tolerance to it. And so there are differences, you know, in our biological bodies, and they do play out in, you know, exactly what we're talking about here.
Is it true, Joanne, that more women are likely to die from an overdose than men?
Yes. Look, you know, I don't have those stats in front of me, Neil, to be able to answer that, you know, I guess categorically, that, but, you know, that definitely is the impression that I've had, that that is the case. But, you know, there is a huge overdose problem with men as well. So, you know, we're dealing, any overdose is an absolute tragedy. And I think that, you know, women can, the overdose with women can definitely happen a lot through prescription drugs as well, not realizing how many they're taking. A lot of it is not even intentional, but accidental.
And women tend to be more prone to panic attacks, anxiety and depression, and perhaps that in itself a trigger point for trying to self-medicate.
Absolutely. You know, depression is a huge thing. I think isolation, a lot of these women who have been traumatized, and some of them right from when they're children, or traumatized in a relationship, those that have been in, you know, domestic violence, you know, we're talking about women that are having to overcome huge problems in their lives. You know, this is something, unless you've had to walk in the shoes of these women, that you couldn't understand. And that's why I say to these women, you know, we love you and we care about you, because, you know, what you have experienced is something that no woman should have experienced. And these women are struggling. They're struggling with their identity, self-worth.
1-800-316-316 to join in our conversation today. You might have your own story to tell. You might have your own insight to offer. You might have a question. You might even have a critique for our conversation. Let me invite you to join in. 1-800-316-316 to be part of a conversation about women and addictions today. Joanne, one of the big issues is that women who are pregnant and are abusing drugs, there's some significant things, and there are statistics around this sort of effect here, but for women and pregnancy, drug abuse, drug addiction has all sorts of extra dimensions, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because we're talking about, you know, another life that they're carrying. And there is a global statistic that says that every 25 minutes a baby is born suffering from opioid withdrawal. So, you know, that's when you think of that, every 25 minutes, it's quite a problem globally.
It is significant. And marijuana, tobacco, alcohol, I mean, there's all sorts of different drugs here. If you're being general right across the board, are women more susceptible in all of those different drugs to being addicted? And, of course, then there's these ongoing, onflowing effects.
Well, I think it gets back to what we were just talking about, Neil, that women have a lower threshold just because of the way that women are designed, you know, are created. They have a lower threshold, which then would obviously, you know, say that they do have, I guess, a quicker addiction to these different illicit drugs and alcohol.
We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. You might like to join in our conversation today. You might have your own insight about drug addiction and particularly around women. I mentioned earlier, Joanne, that men are prone to peer pressure and women more inclined to self-medicate. Let's not leave men out of the issue here. If we're talking about addiction and how you might prevent moving into those issues, because when you talk about recovery from addiction, you're talking about a transformed life on the other side. There must be a prevention measure at the beginning that you could also encourage us with.
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that I love about Teen Challenge is that, you know, our core business, of course, is residential rehab, but we also have an incredible heart for prevention. And one of the things that, you know, we have started in other states and are starting to come into Queensland now is the Not Even Once program, which is an educational program that goes into schools, and it's been received extremely well and had some great results. And so education around this, conversations, teaching parents actually how to talk to their kids about, you know, drug and alcohol misuse, you know, teaching them what to do in that space. Education is really important in this area.
Do you have people who are available for education programs to speak to small groups and to schools and to anyone who will listen, perhaps even workplaces that might be open, because the prevention is better than the cure? And if you can stop this thing before it gets out of hand, so far as addiction goes, if people understood this, no doubt they would take a lot more attention to looking after themselves. Are there people that you've got on your team who can do those sorts of presentations?
Well, nationally, we've actually joined together for the Not Even Once program, and the executive director from Tasmania, she actually runs that, and she runs that throughout all of the different states. And so this is a great initiative and something that we are really trying very hard to get into the schools up here in Queensland to present these programs, because, you know, it's a very well-balanced program and something that it has, you know, all of the up-to-date scientific facts in it.
It's always encouraging to know that if you found yourself in addiction and you needed help, that there is somewhere to go. Are there enough rehab centres around Australia? I mean, I'm just putting you on the spot here, to be able to cope with the significant challenge that drug addiction brings? Because when you mentioned a little earlier, the number of women who are actually suffering addiction and the few that actually seek help, I mean, would there be an inundation of the current rehab centres if more women decided to come forward and get some help? How do things look around Australia?
Well, look, I think, you know, this is why I'm passionate about talking about this, because what we have to do is address the real issue. And the real issue is, why aren't they coming in? It's not even the fact of not enough rehab centres, but there's very, very little for women who have children. So, you know, I am passionate about, you know, in the future of looking at a program that actually caters for women with their children, because that is the number one, I think, barrier to women. Because 50% of, at least 50% of these women have children. And so when we're looking at the fact that these women are not in treatment, I think we've got to look at the root cause of it. And if we don't provide something for these women to help them and encourage them into treatment, it's never going to happen.
So how do you upgrade a centre now to be able to cater for children? Because no doubt you've got your existing centres, one for men and one for women in the city of Toowoomba, just west of Brisbane. If, as the passion of your heart is there for a centre in the future to accommodate women and their children, what sort of upgrade do you need?
We'd need definitely another centre, because you obviously, the program is run differently. And actually, I've had a lot to do with programs that have been running in the United States, where, you know, Teen Challenge first started, and there's some extremely successful programs over there in Teen Challenge. And so, yeah, what I would do first is looking at their modelling and how we could implement that into Queensland.
Let me get down to the nitty-gritty here before we take another call. Funding for a centre that would cater for women and children. You're a Christian ministry organisation. From what I understand it, there's little or no government funding for what you do. You're reliant on people who are generous Christian believers who see this as a passion for their own mission pursuit to be able to support financially the sorts of things you want to do. How do you approach that idea of getting an upgrade? Because you're going to have to pass the hat around for supporters, aren't you?
Well, look, there's a lot of different ways, Neil, that we can raise funds. And obviously we've got some wonderful supporters of Teen Challenge, donors that have been very faithful to us. You know, but we do a lot of other things as well. I'm very passionate about sustainability. So, you know, social enterprise is another big part of what I'm forging the way in as well, looking into, you know, what businesses that we can attach to Teen Challenge to actually raise revenue. You know, this is, I guess, something that it's never going to happen just by, I guess, passing the hat round, as you say, but we have to be innovative in this space, you know, and we're looking to partner with people and businesses, you know, to actually achieve that purpose, because we want to be self-sustaining in this, and we want to be able to provide not just what we have now, but we want to expand our services into, you know, as I said, a women's centre that caters for children as well. But that is going to cost money, and we have to look at different ways that we could fund that, and that's something that I'm passionate about. And, you know, working on and talking with different people, talking with donors, talking with businesses. And, you know, I think it's in those conversations, it's a surprising, you know, the ideas that come up. So, hey, if there's any business people out there that have got some great ideas, you know, for social enterprise, I'm all ears.
Well, no doubt you've gotten the attention of some listeners today who might want to connect with you. And I'll be giving the Teen Challenge website so that you can be in touch with Joanne at the end of our conversation. Let's take another call, though. Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. Reverend Geoffrey Beale is in Ingham in Queensland. Hello, Geoffrey. Welcome.
Good day. Good day. Good afternoon. I specialise in deliverance and miracles, and I opened Jesus Centres in the main street of Townsville, when Townsville is called Sodom of the North, and brought crime to a halt in Townsville and in Mount Isa as well, through drop-in centres and through prayer service, prayer power. And I have my phone number now available for anybody with any kind of problem. I myself was killed at the age of 22 in a car crash. And I asked the Lord to raise me from the dead, and he did. 3 weeks I stayed dead, and then rose from the dead. And ever since, for 51 years, I've been working
Geoffrey,
with the Lord Jesus.
When you are praying for people, and as you say, you know, specializing in deliverance, yes, and those sorts of things, what's the success rate for when you're praying for people?
Oh, 100%. See, it's the power of Jesus Christ himself. To receive Jesus into our heart and become a part of the winning side and not the sinning side or the silly
Geoffrey,
side.
Geoffrey, have you prayed for people who've had drug addictions, and what's the response been there?
Yes, we had the Townsville Hospital and the police in Townsville sending all kinds of incurable people and drug-addicted people down to Rebirth Jesus Centre, and we had them all 100% success rate.
Geoffrey, good to hear your story, and really appreciate your input today. Let me come back to Joanne and the sorts of things that Geoffrey is sharing here, praying for people and seeing them set free from addiction. No doubt there's a holistic dimension, and prayer is going to be an important part of that. I wonder whether you've got any thoughts on what it is, the power of prayer in the way that people can be helped along their journey of getting set free.
Well, I think, Neil, we look at that is, you know, the power of prayer is there for whether it be addiction or whether it be any other issue or problem that we're facing in our life. Of course, we believe that there is such power in prayer, and that is a big part. You know, our staff meet every morning before work, and they actually pray together, pray for our young people in the centres. You know, prayer is a big part of what we do.
I want to thank Jeffrey for his input. Thank you, Jeffrey from Ingham. Appreciate you calling in. 1-800-316-316. Although, as I look at the clock, time is running down. And just to come back to your 50-year celebration this year, Joanne, it's been a busy year for you, but it's nice to be busy, isn't it, doing celebration things rather than just solving crises. What have you had happen over your the year so far, the 50th year? Give us an insight into the celebration this year.
Yeah, so this has been a really exciting year for us, because we were celebrating 50 years of us being in Queensland, delivering services and help to Queenslanders. Well, not just Queenslanders, but you know, we have many that come from interstate as well. And also 20 years of our rehabilitation centres in Toowoomba. So, you know, we've had double celebrations this year. Our gala dinner in June, we, you know, that was a big focus of our gala dinner. And then just in the last couple of weeks, we've celebrated in Toowoomba the 20 years with supporters and, you know, those that have been through the program, which was a fantastic day. And also in Brisbane, just the weekend before last, we were celebrating with Charles and Rita Rigmer, who were actually the early visionaries and founders of Teen Challenge Queensland, and that and many workers that were there with them right back in 1971 when they first established it. So that was, it's been an outstanding time for us. We believe in honouring those that have come before us, because I truly believe that we stand on the shoulders of giants that have actually forged the way.
And that name, Charles Rigmer, well, Charles will be our guest in a week or two from now, and we'll pick up on a topic around this sort of thing. So look forward to something with Charles, who was the founder. That's 50 years ago, and these days Charles, I think, is around 80 odds. And but I'm looking forward to a fabulous conversation with one of those legends on the landscape in Christian circles in Australia. And so look forward to that in a couple of weeks' time. For people to connect with you today, Joanne, the Teen Challenge website, teenchallengeqld.org.au, there'll be a link there where people can actually be in touch with you personally. You mentioned that there are some dreams and some possibilities for a centre with women and their children to break what we've discovered in this past hour has been one of the biggest challenges for women who are facing addiction. What happens to my kids? For people who are interested in talking to you about that, easy to make connection with you?
Absolutely. If you just go to our website, there's an email address on there that will definitely get to us.
All right. So teenchallengeqld.org.au. And Joanne Hobbs, Executive Director of Teen Challenge in Queensland. Joanne, thank you so much for coming in, sharing your thoughts and your heart with us today on 2020.
Thanks so much, Neil. It's been brilliant.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.